I'm Spencer Beckwith for KUNM. In 1876, entrepreneur Fred Harvey struck a deal with the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe to establish eating houses along the railroad's route to the west. The chain grew into 84 restaurants over time and flourished into the 1960s. One of the distinctive elements of the Harvey houses was, of course, the Harvey girls. Over 100,000 young women, ages 18 to 30, left home over the years and traveled west to serve as waitresses. A new documentary about them, The Harvey Girls, Opportunity Bound, will have public screenings in both Albuquerque and Santa Fe in the coming weeks. And on the phone with us is the L.A.-based director of the film, UNM alum Katrina Parks. Katrina, the Harvey houses presented opportunities for young women at a time when there weren't a lot of options for them.
Yeah, that's certainly true. This was really a radical shift for women and an opportunity. The Fred Harvey Company placed ads in, you know, newspapers back east and in the Midwest, and that's how they started their recruitment process. Really, the Harvey girls began in Raton, New Mexico, and legend has it that Fred Harvey, you know, as the chain expanded further west, he walked into the Raton restaurant unannounced and was surprised to see that the place was a shambles, and he was traveling with someone named Tom Gable, and allegedly Tom said to Fred, "What you need to do to change things is to hire women." And thus, the Harvey girls were born. Author of Appetite for America, Stephen Fried, dug a little further into that legend and discovered that at the time in the West, many of the waitstaff were African American, and many of the towns were populated by, among others, cowboys who were disgruntled that the Confederates had lost the Civil War. And so there was a lot of tension between these two groups. And so that was one of the reasons for the unrest in towns along the railroad and in these restaurants.
From your research, Katrina, you said that Fred Harvey advertised back east and across the country. Who were these young women? Where did they come from?
From many, many backgrounds. Some were immigrants from Europe, but, you know, there were also people whose families had been in this country for a much longer time. There were so few opportunities for women at the time that when young women read this, you know, they were really excited and eager to be independent and to make money and send money back to their families. So over the course of the years the company was in existence, you're talking about over 100,000 women is the figure that's generally quoted who responded to these ads and went west. And sometimes you're talking about generations of women, like mothers would be Harvey girls, and then their daughters would be excited about it, and they would become Harvey girls.
And certainly during these years, it displayed a certain amount of courage for a young woman to travel this kind of distance.
Yeah, definitely. It's not uncommon among the women that I interviewed for them to not have been like more than 15 miles away from home when they got on the train to go west. So it was really an adventure for them and a huge change for them and their families.
Tell us a little bit about how you structured your film, Katrina. We do get to hear from some of the Harvey girls themselves.
Yes, we do. I interviewed some of the last remaining Harvey girls who were in their, when I started the project, in their 80s, and when I finished the project, in their 90s. So that gives you a sense of how long I took to make the film. Much of it is structured chronologically. We start with background on Fred Harvey, which Stephen Fried does an excellent job of narrating for us. And then we kind of work our way through the decades. And the company changed a lot, and you can see how it adapted over time. In some ways, it's kind of reflected in the Harvey girls' uniforms. As time went on and the company really embraced the Southwest, many of the uniforms took on that tone.
Easier to wear.
Much easier to wear. Like when the Harvey girls started, it was floor-length black skirts, long sleeves, and very prim and proper starched aprons.
And those of us who have seen the 1946 MGM musical remember those costumes very well, which I assume were somewhat accurate.
Yes, they were. That is definitely one respect in which the film is accurate. But of course, some of the Harvey girls that I interviewed, you know, they like to say it was nothing like the musical with Judy Garland.
The one thing that the musical did get right was to stress that this was a big, adventurous, courageous thing for these women to do, to travel west and to establish whole new lives in a strange land for themselves.
Yeah, I think the movie did a good job of that, and also showing the camaraderie between the women. I mean, it was kind of a sorority for women who didn't go to college, I guess, and were working together, and they really supported each other. And the older, they didn't consider themselves waitresses, by the way, but the older waitresses among them mentored the younger ones and helped them kind of get through the initial days of homesickness.
You have lots of film experience producing, writing. You've worked for PBS, A&E, The Discovery, the History Channels. This is your first full-length directorial project. Why did you choose the Harvey Girls?
Well, it was something actually I started or became fascinated with when I was a student at the University of New Mexico, and the Harvey Girls really captivated me. I loved spending time with them and hearing their stories. You know, I'm just very thankful that they opened up to me.
And why did you approach them originally?
Well, I've always been interested in women's history and the history of the West. And when I was at UNM, I worked for the artist Judy Chicago in a small railroad town called Boleyn. And in that town, there's a wonderful museum called the Boleyn Harvey House Museum. And that's where I first heard of the Harvey Girls. And I was shocked that I hadn't heard of them before and captivated and wanted to know more. And so I said, you know, someone should make a documentary film about them. Of course, no one stepped up over the years. And so I decided to do it.
So the fact that you had never heard about them was an impetus for you to create a film for maybe other people of your generation or younger who don't know anything about the Harvey Girls.
Yes, and I think, you know, I really wanted to preserve the history and make it accessible to younger audiences.
Memories are fading now on the Harvey Girls, and in fact, quite a few of the restaurants themselves are no longer around. Was that in the back of your mind when you were putting the film together?
Yes, definitely. During the course of making the film, some of the buildings were torn down. But I think we've also been lucky in that, you know, in recent years, a lot of them are also coming back to life. I really enjoyed filming at La Posada, which is in Winslow, Arizona. La Fonda in Santa Fe was incredibly supportive to the project. And now the owner of La Posada in Winslow is restoring the Castaneda Hotel in Las Vegas. So that's very exciting to all of us fans of Fred Harvey and the Harvey Girls.
That's wonderful. Katrina Parks is the director of The Harvey Girls, Opportunity Bound. The new documentary will screen at the Chemo Theater in Albuquerque on November 22nd and in Santa Fe at the New Mexico History Museum on December 7th. Discussions with experts will follow. For information on the film and the local screenings, visit harveygirlsdocumentary.com. I'm Spencer Beckwith, reporting on the arts for KUNM.